الحمد لله الواحد الأحد والفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله بين يدي الساعة بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. اللهم صل وسلم عليه وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اجعلنا منهم. أما بعد، اعلموا عباد الله، اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله، فاعلموا أن خير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله، فإنه سبحانه وتعالى يقول: واتقوني يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. صدق الله وصدق رسول الله ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين. Allah has indeed spoken the truth, and the Messenger of Mercy has conveyed the revelations that were communicated to him through Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam. First of all, I praise Almighty Allah. I praise the one who describes himself as the one, Al-Ahad, the only one, the absolute, the incomparable. Alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor was he begotten. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is none comparable unto him. So all praise be to Allah, who is the absolute, he is the incomparable, he is the only one, the ever living, the self-subsisting source of all beings, the eternally besought of all beings. Everything proceeds from him, everything goes back to him. So all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All praises to him for his wonderful blessings and gifts for us, upon us. Unlimited. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to sit down and count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never finish counting them. So let us be inspired to acknowledge the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be grateful to him, and to use these blessings as a means of getting to him, attaining salvation and getting to the Jannatul Firdaus, the blissful paradise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for his righteous servants. I bear witness there is no one worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I bear witness that Rasulullah is indeed his final messenger. Allah has sent down the last testament, and the messenger has lived by the revelations communicated to him. And he has shown us the way unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the guide unto Allah. He is the preacher, he is the caller, he is the shining light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah shower his blessings and mercy and peace on his chosen servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family and companions, and everyone believer, male and female, who shall strive earnestly and sincerely to walk in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the time, the month of Rajab, as our young man last week said, one of the prayers sometimes wrongly attributed to Rasulullah, but it is definitely from As-Salafu Salih, from one of the pious predecessors. They used to pray, some of them used to pray, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Ya Allah, bless us in the month of Rajab and Sha'ban. And of course, as our young speaker said last week, Rajab is one of the holiest months. There are four sacred months, and Rajab is one of them. And according to the Muslim conscience, the taste, there is a spiritual experience of Muslims. Accordingly, they have chosen the month of Rajab to remember the miracle of Rasulullah, one of the greatest miracles of Rasulullah. Of course, the greatest miracle of Rasulullah is the Quran. And this doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not support him by other miracles. Of course, some scholars have enumerated hundreds of miracles for Rasulullah. And of course, one of the greatest one after the Quran is the event of Isra and Mi'raj. And the Muslim community has been based on the spiritual experience of some of the saintly ones. They have used this month of Rajab to remember this great miracle that Allah bestowed on His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I would like to take this occasion, opportunity, to remind you of the glimpses of this great miracle. Briefly, the milieu and the event, and of course glimpses and some of the important lessons. Of course, this is a topic that we can discuss in a number of khutbas. So I'm just reminding, and I will urge you to read the detailed accounts in Sahih Muslim and the works of Ar-Rahiq al-Maktoum, the Seal Nectar, and other works. And of course, there is a good book on Seerah that young people would like to read, in the footsteps of Rasulullah, of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Dr. Tariq Ramadan. So please educate yourself, enhance your understanding of Islam. Thereby we can enhance the practice of Islam, the quality of the practice. Do these rituals not only in form but also in spirit. Because after all, what Allah wants from me and you is not our physical exercises. He wants from us our heart. So submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love Allah in your heart and internalize these teachings. Now back to the Isra and Mi'raj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Isra, I already recited, glory be to Allah, Him, Subhanalladhi, glory be to Him, Alladhi asra bi'abdihi, the one who transported His servant. Of course, who is that servant? That's none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Laylan, in a fraction of night. Laylan, qita'a bin al-layl, according to Mufassirin, is not just the whole night. The journey did not involve the whole night. It's a fraction of the night. Min al-masjid al-haram, from the sacred masjid in Makkah, ila al-masjid al-aqsa, to the farthest mosque. Alladhi barakana hawla, whose precincts have been blessed. Allah says, by us, sacred sanctuary, two sanctuaries, one is the one in Makkah and the other is in Jerusalem, connecting the two senders of prophecy. Here is Jerusalem witnessing the arrival, the mission of many prophets, and then here is Makkah, the most ancient house of worship built by Adam alayhi salam, and prophets making pilgrimages to it, resurrected by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and of course, and once again, the tradition of Hajj revived by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِلِرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, in order to show him some of our signs, great signs. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, verily Allah is the all-hearing and all-seeing. Now Quran is full of allusions. There are two ways of reading the Quran. One is the superficial way. Just look at the literal meaning. Of course, we should look at the literal meaning, the meaning of words as understood by the audience, not our own projection of the meaning. Just like this guy from Qadian said, Khatamun Nabiyyin doesn't mean seal of prophets. Of course, how do you know that? Khatamun Nabiyyin, understood by the audience, the first addressee of the Quran, is the seal of prophets. So the Quran must be understood by reference to the usage, the idioms, the understanding of the first audience. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. This is the milieu, this is the language. If they could not understand the meaning that you are projecting onto it, it should be rejected. So, of course, we get back to the meaning of the original words as used by the Arabs of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he recited this book to the Arabs living at that time, and they got the message. This is a clear book, and they understood. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood it. Umar understood it. Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So first get to their understanding, and then of course immerse yourself in tadabbur, in reflecting. So let the heart commune with this book. Receive the message that Allah is speaking to you and me directly through the book. When we do that, then isharat, the allusions of the Quran, the hidden meanings of the Quran will be exposed to us, will be clear to us. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Quran yufassiru ba'aluhu ba'ala, one part of the Quran explains the other. We read in another place, وَكَذَلِكَ نُرِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَلَكُوتَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ وَلِيَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُوقِنِينَ. And thus we show Ibrahim alayhi salam the malakut as-samawat, malakut as-samawati wal-ard, the hidden dominion, the supreme power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompassing the heavens and the earth. Allah's dominion, not just the outward things that we see, the hidden dominion, liyakuna wa liyakuna min al-muqinin, so that he has that certain conviction, yaqeen, inner insight, deep insight into the mysteries of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the event of Isra, and of course, joined with that is Mi'raj. Of course, this already alluded here. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, in order to show him some of our mighty signs. Because Allah is all-hearing and all-seeing. This is a reference to the milieu of the Isra and Mi'raj. There was a background to it. And what is that background? Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 10 years minimum. Because there is a controversy among scholars. When was the exact date of Isra? Of course, there are far-fetched views. I am not referring to that. Some say it was 1 year before the Hijrah. Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent 13 years in Makkah. So some scholars say it was 1 year before the Hijrah. Some say it was 16 months before the Hijrah. One thing is sure, that it happened after his trip to Taif, which took place after the Amul Huzn, the year of grief. The most difficult time in the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he recounted to Aisha, was that happened after Amul Huzn. After the Amul Huzn, you know, the year of sadness and grief, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after over more than 2 years of that siege in the Shaybu Abi Talib, Valley of Abu Talib, when the Quraysh made a pact that nobody should sell anything or buy anything from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Banu Hashim, those who supported Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no buying, no selling, no food therefore could come to them, and they virtually suffered months of desperation, hunger and starvation. It was in this most difficult time period that his uncle, who was the firm pillar of support for him, and Khadija, the strongest pillar of support for Rasulullah, his loyal wife, the first believer in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both of them died. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is left to trust in Allah alone, to depend on Allah alone. This is Allah's test. Allah takes away all the material supports from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to train him that he should not count on material support. He should look beyond and solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hand is khazainu samawati wal ard, the treasures of the heavens and the earth. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, desperate, of course he could not, after the protection of Abu Talib is taken away in this tribal milieu, if you don't have the support of your tribe, you will not survive. So he ventures out to Taif to try if they will buy, if they will support him. He had great hopes. Again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will trust him. He went to the chiefs of Taif and presented to them the message submitted, and he begged them, if you don't want to accept me, let it be a secret between me and you. First of all, they ridiculed him. You are saying God chose you as a messenger? God did not find anyone better than you? Why God did not choose us? We are richer than you. So, if you are a liar, we don't need to talk to you. But if you are truthful, you know, we know we are better than you. Then also, we don't want to bow down to you. Because when we believe that, testify they are true, we are going to humble ourselves before you, and we don't want to do that. And of course, his final request to them was, please keep it a secret. But of course, instead of doing that, they managed to line up the thugs, the children, on both sides of the street, and ordered them to stone him and chase him out of, calling him madman, deranged, and making fun of him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was virtually chased out of Taif. Stones fell on his legs and he was bleeding. He alone with Zayd ibn Haritha. And the Prophet ran from there, virtually ran. This is the Messenger of Allah, Sayyidul Bashar, the master, the seal of prophets, the chosen one of Allah, the beloved of Allah, Habibullah. Chased out, and he has retired to an orchard under the shade of a palm tree. He prayed 2 rak'ah, and that dua which he recited really should be an inspiration for all of us. Dua for Rasulullah is a pouring of heart before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now dua now for us, just repeating some words. And some people say you cannot pray from your heart, it's a bid'ah. Of course, this is an abuse of the word bid'ah. When the dua comes from the heart, as long as the dua is in compliance with the adab. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how to supplicate to Allah. As long as we comply with those rules and adab, the guidelines established by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's fine. And the Sahaba did pour their heart. The Salafus Salih did pour their heart. The saints, the awliyaullah did pour their hearts in supplication and munajat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the munajat of Rasulullah. That intimate communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, the time is short, but let me read, Allahumma, part of it. Ya Allah, to you alone I complain. My miserable condition, not to anybody else. My weak limitations, the humiliation that I am facing, being chased out. You who are the most merciful, and to whom are you abandoning me? To an enemy who frowns at me, or to your kith and kin? You have given them control and they are humiliating me. And then he says, but you know, I am willing to take this all, anything, as long as you are not angry with me. I am willing to endure anything as long as you are pleased with me. I seek refuge in the light of your countenance, by which the darkness of the heavens and earth are illuminated. I beseech your mercy so that your anger does not fall upon me. Lakal utuba hatta tarla, and I'm willing to suffer anything until you are well pleased, I can earn your love and pleasure and acceptance. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. There is no will, no strength or power except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, this prayer coming from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was heard immediately. Answer came. When he is chased out by his kith and kin, humiliated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him a miracle. That Christian servant who was sent with a cluster of grapes by Utba and Shayba, because they saw the helpless condition of Rasulullah, and he is the relative, blood relation. So of course this Christian neighbor, the stranger, brings that plate with a cluster of grapes, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes it and starts to eat it by saying Bismillah. And this Christian slave asks him, where did you get this? This is something the people here don't mention. They don't say grace. And of course, and then conversation starts, and this Addas, the Christian slave, tells him that he is from Nineveh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you are from the land of my brother Yunus bin Matta. And of course, how do you know Yunus? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is my brother. I am a prophet, he was a prophet. So of course, as soon as he heard that, he fell kissing the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and testified, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him this miracle, that when he is rejected by his own kith and kin, he is accepted by the stranger. testifying to the veracity of. And of course, the next thing is, angel appears before him, angel of mountain, and says to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if only you give the order, we are going to cross these two mountains on them. What was the answer of Rasulullah? No. I'm hoping that even though they have rejected me, I'm hoping from their loins will come those who would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, even those people who drove him out, later on in the last year of Prophet's, last year before the Prophet died, they came as a waft to Medina and embraced Islam. You see how things changed? And of course, next thing is, Rasulullah ﷺ comes back and he's sleeping in the Hijr Ismail. And there comes Jibril alayhi salam trying to awake him. Once he did not awake. And again, a third time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up. And Jibril alayhi salam takes him outside to the door of the haram. And outside is a steed, a crossbreed between a mule and a donkey, white, with wings, a celestial mount. And Jibril alayhi salam takes him on it, and just instantly it hits Jerusalem. And there, all of the prophets are gathered there in the celestial form, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam leads them in prayer. And then he is given two cups, a cup of milk, a cup of wine. He is free to choose. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam chooses milk. And Jibreel says him, Hudita ila al-fitra, you have been guided to the natural way. And of course, then he is taken to the heavens, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows him some of the mighty signs. Surah An-Najm is وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَىٰ مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَىٰ. This is the surah is beginning with that Mi'raj. So there is Isra, which is supposed to be that journey from Makkah to Jerusalem, which takes place in month, more than a month. On camelback. This happened in a fraction of night. And from there to the celestial, to the heavens, breaking the barrier of space and time. Of course, it is not that galaxies or stars that people take a voyage and they are trying to make a settlement. It's breaking even the barriers of time and space beyond all of the visible material world. So this is a miracle of miracles. And of course, in that Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shown scenes from heaven and hell. I will have to continue this talk another khutbah inshallah. And the greatest gift of Mi'raj is the salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Rasulullah with that Mi'raj. I'm going to explain it in the next khutbah I'm going to give here, inshallah. But let us conclude that what is that benefit that Rasulullah brought for me and you from his Mi'raj? It is the salah. As-salatu Mi'raj al-mu'min. It is the ascension of the believer. Of course, as long as we recognize this, when we say Allahu Akbar, say goodbye to the world. Because you are in a higher plane. You are breaking the barrier of space and time. And ready to commune with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in salah, you are communing directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take care how you commune with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, let us recognize this important point today, and I will come back to discuss the great lessons, other great lessons that we can learn from this. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show him his dominion. The world, as we look at it, the difficulties we face, we should know this is nothing. This limitation of this dunya, this is lovely world, this mundane world is nothing. There is the world beyond space and time. Believers are called to imagine that, to visualize that, and to prepare ourselves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where He has prepared for us Jannatul Khuld, the eternal paradise, which is beyond time and space, eternal life, life beyond death, no death. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Let us pray for our brothers and sisters who are sick. A number of them are sick. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down a shifa on them. Allahumma ya Rahman, ya Rahim, Allahumma rahamhum rahmatan min indik. Tughnihim biha rahmati min siwak. Allahumma farij al-hammi kashif al-gham. Mujib da'wat al-mutharreen. Rahman al-dunya wal-akhirah wa rahimahuma. Anta tarhamhum. Farhamhum rahmatan min indika. تغنيهم بها الرحمة من سواك اللهم رب الناس أذهب الباس اشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. Let us also pray for those who have passed away. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم من أحييته منا فحي للإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه للإيمان. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة ترضيك إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. أقم الصلاة.